Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Who's believing for God to do something in their lives? Who loves spy shows, spy movies, spy books? Anyone like, you know, spy books, right? Spy movies, spy TV shows. I do love spy movies, and here's some of my favorite spies. I'm just going to show you on the screen here. The first is Mission Impossible. It's going to be on the screen in just a second. There we go. Bit of Tom Cruise, right? Look how young he looks, right? It's what happens when you join the Church of Scientology. But anyway, keep moving on, right? And you know, he's like 153, right? And stop it, all right? Next, we have James Bond. We've got my favorite James Bond, Daniel Craig. Who loves Daniel Craig, right? Is that your favorite, or is Sean Connery your favorite James Bond? Daniel Craig, right? Pierce Brosnan, any Pierce Brosnan fans? What, really? The lawyer over there, the old Pierce. Anyway, awesome, good old Pierce Brosnan. This is my favorite spy ever. His name is Austin Powers. There he goes, my favorite. Yeah, baby! Anyway, who loves Austin Powers here? Whose favorite spy is Austin Powers? Yeah, come on. Oh, what a great guy. Some people say I look like Austin Powers. Is there a bit of Austin Powers about me? You know who people say I do look like is the person next on the screen, and that's Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah? Okay. Little bit, right? Oh, awesome. Well, let's look at some spies in the Bible. Who thinks we should go to the Bible? We're in church, right? Let's go to the Bible. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, verse 25 to 33, and it's about the story of the 12 spies spying out the promised land. It says, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they'd taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. So they're talking up this place. It's almost like Tasmania. If you've been to Tasmania, it's a land flowing with milk and honey and lots of apples, right? There's plenty of apples to go around, right? But then it says, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak, the Amalekites living in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. So they had a good report, but then the good report turned to a bad report. It's like there's land flowing with milk and honey, credible fruit, but then there's giants there. But then Caleb, who was also one of the spies, tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, let's go at once to take the land. Who loves the spirit of Caleb here? We can certainly conquer it. I love his spirit. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they, which is the 10 other spies, spread this bad report. They were gossipers. Who knows, we don't gossip at Enjoy Church. Amen. All right. They spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Who knows? They had a bad report. Who knows that they were projecting something negative? They were bringing their confession, this ungodly, non-unkingdom confession to the Israelites, and they spread the bad report. Do you know what actually happened? All those who received the bad report never actually stepped into the promised land. It's so important that we are listening to the right people and ignoring the wrong people. Amen? Okay. So here we have these 12 spies that were spying out the promised land. This is the promised land that God had promised them. It was an 800-kilometer round trip. And for those who want to know, that's 1 million steps. 1 million steps. I'm sure that their Garmin or their Apple Watch would have been going crazy, right? Now, the reality is the 12 spies all had different experiences on the same exact mission. Same place they explored, different experience, right? 10 thought they couldn't enter the promised land, but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Why not us?" I want to encourage you. Let's have the spirit, not of the 10 other spies, but of Joshua and Caleb. If God's promised it, it's going to happen. Amen. If God spoke it, it's going to happen. If God's word says it, then it's going to happen. Amen. The title of my message today is Spies Like Us. Who remembers the 80s movie, Dan Aykroyd, Spies Like Us? Not many here. I know Pastor Mick does. Fair enough. Praise God. But more than an 80s comedy spy movie, the question I want to ask you today is, which group of spies will you choose to be like today? Will you be like Joshua and Caleb? Or will you be like those 10 other spies who chose to see with negativity and cynicism and what God's not going to do and why God can't move and why things aren't going to happen? Or are you going to choose to live like Joshua and Caleb? And Caleb's like, let's not wait. Let's do this right now. Let's get to business. Amen. Let's go conquer the land that the Lord has promised us. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If you can take anything away from today's message, don't give up. Amen. Just keep doing good. But it's like, but I'm not seeing the breakthrough. Keep doing good. But I'm not seeing the promised land yet. No, keep doing good. But it's not, stop it. Sometimes we've got to tell ourselves to stop it because we're speaking so much garbage, right? And filth out of our mouth. We need to speak life and we need to speak hope. Amen. Yeah. Praise God, right? This scripture here, let us not give up. In doing good, it says at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. This is a picture of Joshua and Caleb living on mission with negativity, with fear, with cynicism all around. They chose to fix their eyes on the promise. Now, I don't know about you, but there's plenty of fear, plenty of cynicism, and plenty of negativity going around. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you've got a mortgage like I do, and you're getting a letter every couple months saying your interest rates are going up, ooh, you know, and you're getting different reports and we're watching the news and this is happening and that's happening, we can easily fall into the trap of negativity, easily fall into the trap of fear, easily fall into the trap of cynicism. But let's be like Caleb and Joshua, who chose to fix their eyes on the promise. Amen. Don't give up on doing good. Consistency is your best friend. Consistency is your best friend. Don't give up on doing good. Because you know what? The fruit is coming. The fruit is coming. I'll say it over here. The fruit is coming. Amen. The promise is on its way. Amen. Keep doing good. The Bible talks about faith with little, faithful with much. If we have faith with whatever God has given us, He will give us much more. Just keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. Doing good is integral when it comes to living on mission. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, it says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Have we got any diligent hands in the house? Just wave your hands in the air if you're any diligent people in the house here. Amen, right? Diligent hands bring wealth. So lazy hands bring poverty, but diligent hands, meaning working hard, living on mission, being faithful, attracts the favor of God. Amen. Who knows that we are called to live on mission? I want to read some scriptures here. And these scriptures are so pivotal to us as New Testament believers to live on mission. The first one is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And Jesus was talking to Peter here, but also I believe that Jesus is talking to the church as well, right? So now you are Peter, right? Which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Everyone say my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Another version says, maybe the Children's Bible version says, not Children's Bible, it says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, okay? And that picture of prevailing against it means that the church is moving forward. The church is growing. The church is taking ground. Don't listen to that garbage out there that's saying, oh, you know, the church is dying and the church is non-existent and, the church is irrelevant and blah, 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 blah. You know, our Enjoy Church is stronger than ever before. I can tell you, right? I was just looking at some of the where the locations are at just today. And we're seeing incredible things happening across all of our location. God is moving, the church is moving forward, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it because we are pushing against the gates of hell. Amen? All right, we're in a battle, amen? Matthew 28 verse 19 says, therefore go, everyone say go. Don't go yet, just wait. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're called to go. We're called to live on mission. A unified group of believers living on mission are unstoppable, amen? Unstoppable. You see, we're called to live on mission, but there are many times where we'd prefer something other than mission, and we probably prefer maybe what's more safe and what's more comfortable. And instead of mission, maybe we'd prefer just to maintain, maybe just stay where we're at. We don't need to grow anymore. We don't need to do anymore. We don't need to send more pastors. We don't need to plant any more churches. No, we've done our bit. It's someone else's responsibility to step up. No. We're called to live on mission, right? You know, spending time with Pastor Shane last night and we're talking, you know, the first 10 years of Enjoy Church, we only had one location. And between year 10 and year 11, we started the East Campus. And now we've got, I don't know, 14 churches across, you know, multiple, three states and multiple countries. And, you know, I want to encourage you, keep praying for the location pastors at different locations. You know, what we're seeing in Japan is amazing. What we're seeing in Cambodia is incredible. As in, they couldn't fit everyone in one service. So they started a second service, but the second service is outside. It's just incredible what God's doing, right? Yeah, you can get excited about that. Come on. It's great. God is moving, but we're called to live on mission. Each and every believer is called to live on mission, but sometimes we just prefer to maintain because that's what's safe and that's what's comfortable. But who knows that God didn't promise us comfortable, right? He promised us his promises, but you know, his promises are going to take us to a new place, amen? The word mission means an important purpose accompanied by strong conviction. But the word maintain means to keep in existence or continuance or operation. We're not called to just keep in existence or just survive. You're not called just to survive. You're called to thrive. You're called to flourish. Amen? Right? We're not just called to comfort. We're called to more than that. Amen? Church, I want to encourage each and every one of you today that as followers of Christ, we're called to live on mission. And what I want to do right now, we're going to look at some key differences between living on mission and just living on maintenance mode. So point number one, are you ready? I'm going to ask you again, are you ready? Yeah. All right. Point number one, response or reaction? Are you a reactor or are you a responder? I want to encourage you, fight the urge to react emotionally. Fight the urge. Anyone get that urge to react to things, right? Ah! Anyone else emotional here? I do, all the time. Bit explosive at times. But I've got to fight the urge to react and I've got to live responding by faith. Amen? Numbers chapter 13, we read it before, it says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people down as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once. Take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But then the other men, it says, that explored the land with them, they disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. Caleb said, we can conquer it. The others said, we can't do it. How are you going to respond? How are you going to live your life? Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to live according to the promises of the Word of God? Or are you going to live according to what's happening all around you? See, the other spies... reaction was a pretty fair assessment. Yeah, there were giants in the land, but they forgot one thing, that it was actually the promised land. Caleb and Joshua responded by faith and they overcame fear. All right, so how do we respond with faith and defeat fear-filled overreaction? Who wants to defeat fear-filled overreaction? That's a bit of a mouthful. Fear-filled overreaction. Who wants to defeat the fear-filled overreaction? That sounds really good, right? I do. I want to defeat it. This is how we defeat it, all right? The first thing is to defeat fear-filled overreaction. It's pretty good. I said it pretty good. I'm pretty impressed by myself. We need to get all the facts, right? We need to get all the facts. Sometimes we react because we only have half the story. You might have the majority of the story, but you don't have all the story. You need to get all the facts because it settles us. It helps us make wise choices. I can tell you today that half truths will always cause you to react. Anyone been in a situation where someone gives you a call? Did you hear? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Who knows, that's a half-truth. We need to get the whole story, right? Who knows that the media love half-truths? Oh. I know they're watching. Anyway, right? Don't settle for half-truths. Get all the facts. And at the end of the day, whatever's going on, the full stop is the promises of the Word of God. The full stop is God's Word, amen? So you might have all the facts. You might have a bad report, but at the end of the day, God's word stands forever. Amen? All right, the other thing when it comes to defeating fear-filled overreactions, we need to choose the right spirit. We need to choose the, you know, having the right spirit doesn't come automatically. I don't know about you, but disappointment and offense, unforgiveness is so natural. Anyone else, right? The flesh just so natural, the flesh, right? But we need to defeat the flesh by choosing the right spirit, keeping your heart right, keeping your heart right. The other thing is living by faith is living on mission, saying I'm going to respond to life's challenges according to God's promises, and I'm going to keep being obedient to the word of God. Amen. All right, point number two, are you ready? Expansion or preservation? Expansion or preservation? When I'm on mission, when I know I'm called, and I have a big God dream, I'm looking forward to the future, right? I'm believing more for my family. I'm believing more for my church, amen? I'm believing more for my friends. I'm believing more for my marriage. Can I get an amen, everyone who's married? I'm believing more. This is what expansion looks like. God wants us to expand kingdom territory. When Jesus taught us how to pray, taught his disciples how to pray, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? It's bringing heaven to earth. We're called to expand kingdom territory. Maintenance is all about preservation. The word preservation means retaining something in its original state. When I think of something that's kept in its original state, I think of like pickles. You know, like pickled vegetables or gherkins and stuff. You know what I mean, right? Pickles. Now, who loves pickles here? Right? Who loves pickles? Who doesn't like pickles? Who doesn't like pickles? Yeah. Who throws out the pickles out of the cheeseburger? I pray one day you will be healed from that, and you're going to keep those pickles in. And I get it. It's you need to mature your palate a bit more. But I'm here to tell you today, I love pickles, but I am not a pickle. If you take anything away from today's message, is you are not a pickle, right? You're not a pickle. You're not called to preservation. You're not called just to exist. You're not called just to survive. You are not a pickle. So every time you go past the pickled vegetables aisle in the supermarket, you're going to remember that you're not a pickle. You're going to eat the pickle, but you're not a pickle. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not a pickle. You're not a pickle. Right? Praise God. And I'm going to prove it with the Bible. Are you ready? All right. Psalm 119 verse 32 says, I'll pursue your commands for you expand my understanding. God wants to expand your understanding. God wants to expand your revelation. God wants to expand your capacity. God wants to expand your heart. God wants to expand you. You are not a pickle. Amen? God's built you for growth, to live enlarging and expanding. Now, the reality is, the truth is, there are seasons for rest. Amen? There are seasons to catch your breath. There are seasons, you know, the Bible talks about the Sabbath. There are seasons of rest, but the purpose of rest is very intentional, because it's for sustained growth. Sustained growth, amen? So how do I defeat preservation? How do I embrace expansion wholeheartedly? Well, you need to remember who you are, and you're not a pickle, amen? You're not a pickle, right? You are a powerful child of God, okay? Not just a child of God, as a child of God, we're powerful, amen? Because the same power that conquered the grave lives in us, resides in us, amen? You're powerful. Can I get an amen? All right, point number three, succession or disconnection. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power." The whole thing about Caleb and Joshua and about their mission and even the other 10 other spies, that it actually wasn't about them. It was all about the succession of Israel. It wasn't about the succession of the 12. It was about the future of a nation. Amen? Succession. What are you building that will outlast you? Look, our theme for this year is legacy. This is what it's all about. So what am I doing today? How am I stepping into the unknown so the future generations will be better equipped? How am I stepping out of my comfort zones for the future generations? My grandparents, my wife's grandparents, all moved here in the 1970s, right? For a better future for me, for a better future for my children, for a better future for my cousins. They took a step out of their comfort zone, left friends, left family, left the place they knew their whole life, step into a country that they didn't know the language. Why? For the future generations. A life of legacy requires me to ask some questions, right? Who wants to hear some questions? Ask yourself these questions, right? How am I connecting the next generation to a greater future? Great question. Another question is, what are my ceilings that will be the next generation's floor? What are my ceilings that will be the next generation's floor? You know, I know my grandparents and my wife's grandparents, they're all very faithful people that were passionate about the house of God. And I know their heart, their desire was to see their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids in the house of God. So I just know that they are so proud of what God is doing, amen? Because that's what it's all about. It's about, what are my ceilings that will be the next generation's floor, amen? What have I committed to building? You see, the local church is all about the generations, amen? I love seeing Pastor Aaron and Emily up here talking about Empire, seeing Pastor Gianni up here, seeing all the parents, seeing all the children getting dedicated, because it's all about the next generation, amen? That's what the church needs to be. Praise God. Point number four, vision or projection? Vision or projection? We read it before in Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let us go at once to take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.' But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. 'We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are.'" The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. Meaning, I project my belief system. I project my heart condition to everything I am and everything I do. You see, the 10 other spies projected their fears, projected their insecurities, so much so, they were so stuck in that wrong belief system, is they went throughout the whole land of Israel and intentionally spread the bad report. That's what they believed. That's what was in their heart. What are you projecting? What's your belief system look like? Well, it's a picture of your heart condition. Caleb and Joshua chose to live on mission with the vision of the promised land. When they spoke, their hearts were revealed. You see, when you speak, your heart is revealed. when you speak, your heart is revealed. You see, living with a faith-filled vision requires me to consistently, constantly guard my heart, keep my heart, look after my heart, deal with my heart. You know, in Psalms it says, I've hidden your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. Your heart matters. Invest in it well. Amen? Last thought for today before we conclude. Offense or defense? Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, we read it before. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Who knows that that is not a defensive play when it comes to the kingdom of God? It's on the offense as anything could be. It's go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, right? The intent there is we are moving forward. We are doing something. We are taking ground. Go and make disciples. And I love sports, but I dislike when teams, even if it's my own team, and they might have done it on Thursday night, when they go out on the field and intentionally choose to defend the whole game. See, God hasn't created us just to be in this defensive mode our whole life. God has called us to the open life, to the big life, to the faith-filled life. Amen. Ooh, see, even the microphone agrees. God has created you to build. God has created you to grow. God has created you to flourish. God has created you to serve. God has created you to love. Amen. God has created you to encourage. And I'm called to live on the offense, not the defense, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If I'm going to live on the offense and on kingdom mission, I need to make some daily commitments. Amen. I must know what discipleship is, which is becoming more like Jesus. I mentioned before, we prayed about it before, it's surrendering your life to Jesus every day. Do you know how often you need to give your life to Jesus? All the time. So keep surrendering. God, I'm surrendering my stuff to you. God, I'm surrendering my flesh to you. Amen. Living on the offense is surrendering everything to Jesus. Don't wait to let it go. I must become a disciple. Amen. To go, I need to grow. And I need to see each day as the mission field. See each day as the mission field. Amen.